It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Médaillé d'or et champion olympique.
Gold medalist and Olympic champion, Scotty Scheffler.
Representing the United States of America.
I mean, it's emotional sitting there on the podium and hearing your national anthem. It really is. And it's been a long week. It's been a challenging week. And, I played some great golf today. And, I'm proud to be going home with a medal. And then there was a lot of talented guys in the field this week. These guys played tremendous golf. And, I think we all should be proud of the golf that we played this week.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. That was the voice of Scotty Scheffler, your Olympic champion. He not only wins the Masters this year, but has now a gold medal to take back to Dallas, Texas with him after firing a final round 62 to win by one shot over Tommy Fleetwood, who finished second at 18 under par. Hideki Matsuyama finished third at minus 17. John Rahm, who looked like he might run away with the gold medal, faltered on the back nine. He finished at minus 15 in a tie for fifth with Rory McIlroy. Victor Perez of France finished just off the podium by finishing fourth with a final score of 16 under par. 19 under par for your gold medal champion at Le Golf National. Scotty Scheffler wins it for USA. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I introduce you to Mary B. Porter King, an American professional golfer, played on the LPGA Tour, was born in Everett, Washington, attended Arizona State University, where she played four sports, golf, basketball, volleyball, and softball. She was inducted into the Arizona State Sports Hall of Fame in 2001. She turned professional in 1973, joined the LPGA Tour after winning in qualifying school. She has one win under her belt on the LPGA Tour. She now resides in Hawaii and is a board member of the Ladies National Golf Association, which recently held their amateur tournament in Hot Springs, Arkansas, on the park course of Hot Springs Country Club. I'll have more on that tournament at the end of the show. But coming up next, you are going to get to hear from Mary B. Porter King. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure it's a Beachwood Pinnacle hotel property. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. We're back after this.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the real fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, Bogle Park, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with the newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay anywhere in Arkansas, check out bphotels.com first. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. Mary B. Porter King, born in Everett, Washington, inducted into the Arizona State Sports Hall of Fame in 2001, played on the LPGA Tour from 1973 until 1996, and now she is on the board of the Ladies National Golf Association, which recently held their amateur championship at Hot Springs Country Club, the Park Course. I went down to Hot Springs and sat down with her to record this interview, and I hope you enjoy it. On the tee, Mary B. Porter King.
Mary B. Porter King, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. It's nice to meet you in person, a legend when it comes to women's golf.
Well, I'm not sure about the legend, but it's nice to meet you, Trey.
Of course, you're a legend. When did you first fall in love with this game of golf? Do you remember?
My parents started 2 years before I did, and they played a little municipal course in Huntington Beach, and I went out with them, and I ended up caddying for them, pushing their cart around. I was probably five or six at that point. And they loved it, and so they joined a club nearby, right near Disneyland, where we lived. And they had a woman pro there, Betty Hicks, who was a 1942 U.S. Women's Amateur Champion, which I didn't know till much later in my life because that meant nothing to me. And she started a junior program there. And she cared very much about the game and how it was taught and how it was respected. And she made us take written rules tests before we could play and made us take care of the course. And seven of us turned professional out of that little program. Two tour players and the other five were club pros. So she had a huge impact on our lives.
Growing up, I mean, did you figure out early on that you wanted to play competitively?
Yes and no, because she introduced me as a child to me, the legends of the game. You know, the Patty Bergs and the Louise Suggs and Carol Mann and Mickey Wright. And when I was a child, and I got to see them play down in San Diego and see the cars they're driving with their names on it, and I thought, wow, that's really cool. But, you know, again, not knowing much of that, and I thought that's what I want to be when I grow up. I also wanted to be a meter maid, which I thought was cool, too. You know, you could mark the cars as you drive along in
right.
your little motorcycle, so I thought that was cool. But, yeah, that was as I kept growing older. I mean, I loved the game, and it was also a game that was good to me. I think I gained most of my self-esteem in life through golf because I was pretty good, you know, especially as a kid.
High school golf? Were you on, was there a high school golf team back in the day?
Not at an all-girls school. I went to an all-girls school. But no, I ended up practicing with UCLA because I went to a boarding school nearby and played over at Bel Air Country Club with UCLA and knew that when I went to college, I went to Arizona State, that I after that, that I did want to turn pro.
Tempe, Arizona. Boy, it gets hot in the summer and nice in the winter, so you can play golf all year round there.
You can, and in those days it wasn't as humid as it is now. They started building there and everyone built a pool, so yeah. The humidity level went up. But yeah, you're there, you know, in the good time of you're not there in the summer, which was nice. And I'd be playing amateur golf or working in the summers. So, but it was a great school, loved it, and a great college team. In fact, two of my teammates are here this week, so which is great. I mean, that's what golf gives you. It gives you relationships.
And so after college, good enough that you could turn pro. What was the LPGA Tour like back then?
That's a loaded question.
I know.
It very different than today. Some wonderful players. I had the opportunity to play with the Patty Bergs and the Mickey Wrights through my career, and the Kathy Whitworths, and Nancy Lopez, who came out in my era, Jan Stevenson, who was my roommate on tour, all the way through Lorraine Ochoa and Annika Sorenstam, you know, so I got to see it all. It was very different. It's a very lonely life because we didn't have any social media. You wrote letters, and you couldn't wait for a letter to arrive in your locker room. You know, and they're usually sent to the LPGA headquarters and then forwarded to your locker. And I think that we were a tighter group because we depended on more on each other. Even the caddies, we were all just sort of a traveling family in a lot of ways. We didn't have all the extra people traveling with us. We didn't have, you know, today I see the tours, and especially the men's tour, they have chefs traveling with them and their masseuses and their this and that. And
their team.
That's right. They had their team. We didn't have teams. We were the team.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you had you and your caddy.
Playing with players like a Nancy Lopez, I mean, you learn real quick that you've got to have that game, and you had it.
Yeah, I did. Nancy was, whatever you think of Nancy Lopez, as far as if you think she's nice, she's nicer. That's the beauty of Nancy. She's a wonderful person. She was a great ambassador for our tour. And not only a great ambassador, she was a great player. You know, I mean, she's really did more for our tour in those days. And the Jan Stevensons and the Laura Baughs and the Whitworths, I mean, all of them. But, you know, at that time, our tour was changing to a younger player. Our commissioner at that time, Ray Volpe, was really adamant about changing what we look like to the world, and Jan and Laura were the ones that kind of changed that image of us and got us in the public more.
When you see the tour now, did you ever think back then that it would get to where it is now?
You know, Mike Wan, I think, probably did a lot of that. He should be very proud of himself. But when I started the tour, we've had 38 tournaments for $1.2 million. So, wow. And played 36 of them.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think, I don't know why I didn't play the other two, but that's what you did. You just kept playing. And now their purses are well over $1.2 million, so a week.
Yeah.
Not for the year.
Well, and the U.S. Open champion wins more than that now.
Yes, it was $3 million, I think, last year. But it's pretty amazing.
The growth of the game of golf, what can you attribute that to? Is there one singular person that you attribute that to?
Well, I don't know one singular person. I think Tiger obviously had a huge impact on the game, men and women, everybody across the board. I think he brought a lot of viewers to the game. You know, on the women's side, maybe Annika did. Lorena Ochoa certainly did. You know, now you've got some very talented young players on our tour. I miss the personalities of the Nancy Lopez, the Arnold Palmers, and the Lee Trevinos. And I think that's what makes the tour successful, that you have to have that. You know, the Joanne Carners, who was always, you know, she was and still is, you know, today at 80-something, she's still out there showcasing, you know, mm-hmm. loves the game, loves to play it. So I don't know that just one person. I think starting back with Arnold, really getting it started with television helped.
I remember growing up watching some of Nancy Lopez, but I also remember watching a Laura Davies or a Meg Mallon with that just flamboyant hat that she always wore. And I was like, how can you wear a hat like that and it not screw up your swing?
She managed.
She managed.
Yeah. I mean, we had some really talented players in the 80s, the Beth Daniels and the Meg Mallons. And, you know, I hate to leave anyone out because they really, really were talented. The Patty Sheehans, really talented golfers. And I don't think they receive enough credit.
Was it difficult for the tour to find courses to accept them? Because, you know, back in the day, there were courses and private clubs around that did not accept women golfers.
That's correct. I don't think it was easy to promote women's golf, and especially during those years, because like you say, a lot of women weren't allowed to play there or be members there. And I think that's obviously changed, and for the good, maybe. I mean, I believe a private club should be able to do what a private club wants to be. They want to be all girls or all boys, that's their choice. But I believe people should have opportunities to play. But I think now that the tour's gotten so big and there is money in it, I think people are seeing that. And I think they're seeing the talent.
Are you excited that golf is in the Olympics?
I would love to play in the Olympics. That would have been cool.
Back in the day, yeah. Wouldn't that have been something to be able to represent your country?
Just to be in the opening ceremony would be the coolest thing ever. Yeah, and I think every American feels that way. And every person that plays for their country, and that's what you're playing for mostly. I wish I hope we can start seeing more American players, and I think the USGA has really now seen that, and they're starting this player development team. So I hope in the next 10 years that we'll start seeing a bigger growth of American players on tours.
Golf has turned into a global game now, and I think you see that more on the LPGA Tour than you do on the PGA Tour with the influx of the Asian players that have come over to the States to play. Would you say that that's a fair assessment?
Very fair. My term, we had several European players like the Lord Davies and the Jan Stevensons from Australia and Sally Little from South Africa and a few from Marta Figueres-Dotti from Spain. We had a few international players, mostly from Europe or South Africa. And then, you know, the Sayre Park effect happened in 92, I believe, and then the Birdie Kim happened 10 years later to where Korea really, you know, Sayre's father went back to Korea and started developing players, and he did a heck of a job. And the money was here, and they came here. And I give them a lot of credit because they're very talented players. But what I don't see in them, and again, golf is it's a great sport, but also on television, it's a spectator sport. I mean, it's people go not just necessarily to watch golf. They'd like to see personalities. And I think that's what the tour needs more of, or personalities, more like the Arnolds and the Nancys.
You still get out there and play every now and then?
Well, I just had two knees replaced, so 5 months ago, so I'm getting there. I still play pickleball and some golf, but I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yep.
You're here in Arkansas with the Ladies National Golf Association. Explain to me what that is.
So when I was a young player, it was called the Women's Trans-Mississippi. And if you probably know the counterpart to that on the men's side, it's the Men's Trans-Mississippi. And it was started because most tournaments were east of the Mississippi, and there was really nothing for us out west. And it started almost 96 years ago, because 2 years were off for the war. It's one of the oldest women's national championships. And so through the years, it evolved, and unfortunately, it had to change its name. And now it's called the Ladies National Golf Association. But it has the history of that, from going back to all the past winners, from Babe Zaharias and Patty Berg and, you know, Nancy Lopez and all the past champions of it. So it was a huge women's amateur championship. And there weren't many of them when I grew up. You know, you could play in the women's amateur or the trans or the north-south or the western. That was just about it. So it's another opportunity for young players. And then this year is our first year with the Elite Series, which involves just those championships that I just spoke of, giving them another opportunity for some more exemptions into some professional events and to the U.S. Amateur for women.
So the winner here today, what do they get?
If they're in the top, and I don't have that in front of me, so I should know it off the top of my head, but there's a separate point list with the Elite Series, and they will get an exemption right into the U.S. Amateur.
That's big time.
Big time. So it's what you strive for.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, I guess you could say, a play-in to the U.S. amateur.
Right. Right. And you've got some really talented players here. We got a couple national champions here, older, which I love watching some of these older players. You know, Megan Stassi, who's the captain of the Curtis Cup this year, is here really recruiting, but she's out there showing kids how to play golf, too. She's doing well. So... And Ellen Port out of St. Louis, you know, the national champion, you know, they're out there showing these kids how to play golf at 50 years old.
How did you settle on Hot Springs Country Club and the park course for this championship this year?
Well, we're always looking for some good golf courses and some areas that are relatively easy to get in. The Elite Series in front of us is the Women's Western, so it's not that far, we hope. And during the summer, the young women, juniors, and the young amateurs play all over the U.S. and trying to cut down expenses. This is the first time I've been here. I've been to Little Rock, and I've been up to Bentonville. Is that
Bentonville? Yep.
For the NCAAs, but I haven't been to this down here. So it's turned out to be a great golf course, and Willie Park Jr. design, which is pretty impressive. Core Crenshaw redesign, which is even more impressive. And so I've been very, very happy about where we are.
You live in Hawaii now. How did that come about?
Well, that came about. I'll give you the cliff notes
okay.
of it. I had been married and have a son and divorced. And unfortunately, that marriage didn't last long and was put into bankruptcy for $1.5 million. This is a long time ago. And so I had to go back to work to get enough money to get back out on tour. And so I think he was probably 3 at the time. So he couldn't fly in my lap. Plus he's too big. He's 6'7" now. So
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Too big to fly in my lap. And, so I got enough money together to play the 2 tournaments we started in Hawaii. One was, on Oahu at Turtle Bay and the other was at Princeville on Kauai. But I couldn't afford a ticket for my caddy, so whom I'd had since he was 18, and I had him with me from the beginning. And so I had to get local caddies. And so I stayed and played the first tournament and stayed with Kathy Mant, who's here with me this week, one of my teammates from ASU. And we played at Turtle Bay, and she had a young daughter. And so we traveled then to Kauai. She had more stuff for the baby than I had for my son, and he was probably 4. And we rented a Geo Metro. We had to make 2 trips out to Princeville because we couldn't put, even our golf bags wouldn't fit in the car.
All the stuff.
Yeah, couldn't get there. And so we got there late. I signed up for local caddy, as did she, and he had gone surfing. So there was a guy sitting in the caddy yard and reading a book, and I thought, well, that's pretty good if he can read. You know, he's... That's probably a pretty good caddy. And so anyway, he came out with me for 9 holes. And at this, the surfer dude showed up, and I said, listen, you guys, you work it out. And so I turned around, and so the guy that could read kept coming. So he stayed. And I've been married to him now 35 years. So,
wow. Yeah, so, what a story.
So, and he adopted my son. So
oh, how nice.
So I've been there out there for... I've been living there 35 years.
You dumped the surfer dude for the reader.
I thought the reader might have a chance. So the surfer, that's all he cared about.
About that. Yeah. That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
Mary B., how has technology changed the women's game?
That's a good question. I'm not the technology person. I played 4 sports through college. I like athletics. I like it that it's just natural. And I realize that there are techniques and different things, and there are little things. But I believe that we've gotten too technical sometimes. And I've seen a couple players here that had to withdraw because they were, and she even said it out loud, well, I've been working with 2 or 3 teachers, and I just can't get it. And I'm like, why are you working with 2 or 3 teachers? You know, I mean... And I think you sit and watch kids looking at their backswing as opposed to looking at the hole. And I think we've gotten away from that a little bit. You know, you look at, like I say, the old great ball strikers of, you know, Lee Trevino or Kathy Whitworth, you know, wins 87 or 89 times on tour. She skanked the ball, but she could get it in the hole. And these swings today are just all look alike and everything, and they're hitting a long ways and doing quite well, but I think sometimes we get a little too, and I've seen a lot of good players bite into that I have to change and be that way, and I don't think everyone does. I think it's really individual.
If there are junior golfers that might be listening to this, or their parents that are listening to this, or someone that's thinking about getting into the game, why should they pick up a golf club and try to play this game?
I wish everyone in the world play golf because it teaches you, especially as a young person, it teaches you respect for one another on the course because of just the etiquette of the game. It teaches you to take care of the course. It teaches you that it's such an analogy to life. It's just not always fair. You could hit your best drive right down the middle of the fairway and it rolls in the middle of a divot. And it's just like life. And nobody cares that your ball rolled in the divot. So it's up to you to get it out. And you can sit and whine about it and cry about it, but it's not going to get it out of the divot. And you look at the really good players through time, they loved when their ball rolled in a divot because they saw it as an opportunity. And I see a lot of players, they start whining about it, and then they start losing their momentum. So it is, to me, it's a great analogy to life. It's just, and it teaches you all the time, and it teaches you to lose more than win. Even the greatest didn't win all the time. You know, it's not a 500 game. But, you know, it's, I say, if everyone played golf, we would all be nicer to one another and more respectful and learn how to win and learn how to lose.
I had Peter Dawson, former secretary of the RNA, on a couple of months ago, and I asked him if there was one rule that you could change, what would it be? I thought he might go with the divot. He did not. If there's one rule that you could change about the game of golf, what would it be?
That's easy for me. I would change the unplayable ball rule. I live in Hawaii, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We have lava.
Mm-hmm.
And I have too many kids think they can hit it out of lava. And sometimes your nearest point of relief is in the top of Mauna Kea. So if you go straight back on a line, because there's nowhere to go. We did rescind the penalty area relief where you could keep coming back out.
Right.
There's just no way to get out once you get trapped. And it's something they've talked about, but they haven't changed.
Interesting. Best golf course you've ever played?
Well, my favorite golf course would be Cypress Point.
Yeah.
You should go play there.
I should.
Yeah.
I really should. I need to find someone that I know that can get on there. I've played Pebble and Spyglass, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all in the area.
They're in the area.
All right, fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be? And you've probably already played with them.
Well, let's see. I've played with Arnold, but Arnold would be in my game, and my dad, and probably my son.
That'd be a good group, wouldn't it?
That'd be a nice group, yeah.
Mary B. Porter King, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for what you've done for the game of golf. Mm-hmm. And best of luck as you move forward with the Ladies National Golf Association.
Well, Trey, thanks for the time, and thanks for promoting this event, because it's a great old championship, and we hope to make it even bigger and better in the future. But I have a lot to give back to the game.
I have your number. When I come to Hawaii, I'm going to call you.
I'll see you there.
All right.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. Congratulations to Tanana Kochasamani, who won the Ladies National Golf Association Amateur Championship at Hot Springs Country Club over the park course a couple of weeks ago. She fired rounds of 68, 71, and 66 to finish at 205 minus 11. That round of 66 came with three eagles. She holed out on number 8 from the fairway, a chip-in eagle on number 12, and an eagle on number 13 helped her win the tournament by two shots over Bentley Cotton and Lainey Fry. Tanana Kochasamani, the Ladies National Golf Association Amateur Champion for 2024 that was played over the park course at Hot Springs Country Club. Congratulations to her and all of the ladies that played in the Ladies National Golf Association. I want to thank Mary B. Porter King for her time. I hope you enjoyed my interview with her. I'm looking forward to getting out to Hawaii and maybe playing a round of golf with Mary B. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.